Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message. Hello, everyone, and welcome to week two of our Walking in Wisdom series. This is a series where we're looking at the book of Proverbs, which is the main wisdom book of the Bible. It's actually appropriate that it's Grad Sunday and also our Proverbs series, because the book of Proverbs was originally used by the Israelites to teach their children how to be godly adults. And Proverbs is also for anyone who wants to gain wisdom, but primarily it was for young people to learn how to be successful as adults. It's not just about gaining wisdom as an end to itself, just being really wise. It's actually about taking wisdom and using wisdom to live a righteous life. That is to say, to live a life that is honoring to God. And that was the hope for the parents who used this in the Old Testament times, and for parents who have used this book throughout the history of the church. And it's our hope for anyone hearing today that they would take the wisdom of Proverbs and learn to live it out in their lives so that they can live righteously. Unfortunately, when we look around us at the culture at large, wisdom is really not as common as it used to be. An Old Testament scholar named Bruce Waltke wrote in 2004 these words: "In a world bombarded by inane cliches, trivial catchwords, and godless soundbites, the expression of true wisdom is in short supply today." Now, he wrote that in 2004. I wonder what he would say today, looking out at what's going on in the world, looking out at the amount of apparent knowledge and apparent wisdom that is present through social media, whether it's Twitter or Instagram or TikTok. Facebook's kind of meh right now, but in all those areas, there's so much out there, and it really is trivial catchwords, sound bites, and cliches that we get, and we cling on to these as wisdom sometimes. And true wisdom takes time, and true wisdom requires reflection and listening. And the passage that we're going to look at today is found in chapter 3 of Proverbs. And it comes in a series of teachings that a father gives to his son. So this is essentially a parent teaching a child how to live a righteous life and the things that are important. And these things aren't just things that you can learn and in one sitting in a couple of seconds and then go on and do it. It takes truly listening and truly walking it out in our day-to-day lives. So let's start reading this passage in Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 1. "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so that you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones." So what we have here is actually a series of commands followed by a desired result of following those commands. Now, sometimes we can view a proverb as a promise that if you do this, this is guaranteed to happen. Well, that's not exactly what Proverbs are. Proverbs look at the way God has ordered the world and says, if you follow God's wisdom, the most likely result will be good things. Now, it's not a guaranteed result. We all know people that may have followed these things where it didn't go well, and people who took a less noble path where things seem to be flourishing. But ultimately, at the end of the day, not just in earthly life, but in eternity, when we follow God's wisdom, we have his favor, and we get the reward that only comes through knowing him. So we're going to take some time to look at all four of the principles that we see in this passage and the result that should come from them. And the first one in verse 1 and 2, don't forget teachings and let them be on your heart. Don't forget teachings and let them be on your heart. Now, this is more than just a memory exercise. This literally means don't cut yourself off from the teachings and the wisdom of God. And when you don't cut yourself off from the wisdom of God, the promise is that you will have peace and length of days. The promise is things will go well for you. And sadly, sometimes we do cut ourselves off from the wisdom of God. Sometimes we cut ourselves off from the wisdom of God by not spending time in the Word. Sometimes we cut ourselves off from the wisdom of God by not being surrounded by the community of God. In fact, Proverbs talks a lot about gaining wisdom from the community. Proverbs 19:20 says, "Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future." It's not necessarily wisdom that's going to be useful right now. It's for down the road. And you know, people will isolate themselves from the community of God, sometimes intentionally and sometimes unintentionally. I had a friend, I went to a Christian high school, and so I had lots of friends who attended many different churches. And years ago, I had a friend from school who was all done with his church. So he said he was moving on from that church, and he was going to try out some other churches and figure out where he wanted to be. He wasn't happy with something. I don't even know what it was. He wasn't happy with something that happened in the church that he had grown up in. And he told me, I'm going to try these things, and if they don't work out, well, then I'm just going to start my own bedside Baptist church. Well, I don't know all the details of what happened next in his life, but what I do know is he cut himself off more and more from the community of God, and his faith withered. And today he is not following Christ. Cutting ourselves off from the community, isolating ourselves, can be dangerous. We need to make sure that when we remember wisdom, that we remember to be a part of community. Don't be cut off from the community of God. Don't be cut off from his wisdom. God has ordered us, created us to be in community, and cutting ourselves off from that community is unwise, and it dismembers us from the wisdom of God. Now, you can still know God's wisdom to some degree, but it can be far more dangerous when you are not in God's community. And maybe you've been isolated from God's community because of health concerns. And good on you for watching and participating online. And I would encourage you to continue to be a part of that if you're unable to join in person. I would encourage you to reach out to people through whatever avenues you can so that you can stay connected. If you're able to receive visitors, great, that'd be awesome. But if you're isolated and it's not a health-related thing, maybe it's really just accidental. Maybe over the last 2 years, we were forced into isolation, and now we're allowed to gather again, but your routines and rhythms of life have changed so much that you're just kind of in this place where you forget what once was. Well, can I ask you to just take a step out and come back? Come and join us next week. We'd love to see you. In fact, come find me next week and tell me, I'm here this week. That would be fantastic because we'd love to see you and we'd love to be in the place where we all get to encourage one another and build each other up, whether it's here on a Sunday morning or whether it's in a small group, whatever it is, be in community. Don't be dismembered from God's wisdom, but remember God's wisdom. Be a part of what he has ordered in his creation. The second principle that we see is to let steadfast love and faithfulness remain with us, to embody wisdom, to actually carry it with us wherever we go, to bind them around our necks, to wear them wherever we go. And this is kind of a strange thing, but it comes out in our actions and our attitudes towards God and other people. It comes out when we go and see people and we help people or we speak with people. It comes out in our character. It comes out in our conversations. And the result of carrying God's wisdom with us, of living the way God would have us live, is that we'll find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. This isn't a promise that we're going to be wealthy and rich and have everything that we could possibly want and imagine. It's a promise that the good things that God has for us can come, and it's a promise that people will think well of us. Now, there are two people in my life who I've throughout my life constantly heard people say one of two things. One is, are you Brian Fennell's son? And the other one is, are you Mary Fennell's grandson? Now, both my grandmother and my dad carry themselves with character. Both my grandma and my dad had walked in wisdom, tried to live lives honoring to God. And both of them found favor with people. My grandmother was a grade one teacher. And even as an adult, there have been people who have said, now, is your grandma, is she Mary Fennell? I say, yeah. And she's like, she was my grade one teacher in 1980. It's just like, it's like, how do you even remember? I wouldn't be able to very clearly remember all of my teachers that early on, but they remember her and they were grateful for what she did for them. So when you walk in God's wisdom, when you seek to live a life that is honoring to God, when you seek to care for other people, people will remember it. And God will be honored and remember it. The next one in this passage, it's kind of two mixed together. But it comes down to knowing God. And I'm actually going to do this out of order because it starts with trusting God. But in order to trust God, I think we first need to know God. So the second part says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. In all your ways, acknowledge God. Now, a better translation might be, know God personally. In all that you do, live life because you know God. So live life as if God is with you wherever you go, because he is. And in order to know God, we need to know Jesus. The Bible tells us that God has been fully revealed in Jesus. The Bible tells us that if we trust in Jesus, we are known by God, and we can know him if we are truly Jesus' followers. The Bible tells us to turn from our ways and turn to Jesus. And that's how we come to know God. The Bible also says in Proverbs 16:3, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. When we know God, and not just know him, but commit what we do each and every day to him, he is right there with us in our plans, guiding us and leading us down the road we ought to go. And then, when we know God, we can truly trust in him. And the trusting in him is trusting in his vast wisdom over our little itty-bitty wisdom. See, we just got a little sliver of wisdom, and if we're in the community, we gain more wisdom from other people, but God's wisdom is so vast. And this passage, don't lean on your own understanding, is don't trust in your abilities, trust in God's abilities. Don't trust in your understanding, don't trust in your skills, in the little bit that you know, trust in God. But how often do we trust in ourselves before we trust in God? Recently, we've been working on moving our washer and dryer from our garage into our house. And so we finished the majority of the project, and then I had to replace the hose on one of the connectors because it was leaking. So my father-in-law had helped me do this, so I call him up and ask him what, you know, should I go buy one? He had one, so I went and got it. But I had to pull the machine out to get it in play, to get it back in and get it all hooked up. So I got it all hooked up. And then I tried to move the machine, and it's one of those stacking ones, and it's really heavy. I tried to move the machine by myself to get it back in place, and I couldn't get it right. Every time I tried to move it, it would move this way and that way, and I was getting so frustrated. I couldn't get it into place. And then a couple of days later, my father-in-law came over, and the two of us doing that together, moving it into place, within about 2 minutes, it was from where it was to exactly where it needed to be. And sometimes we do that in our own whatever we're going through, and that's how we are with God, where we're doing it under our own power, trying to get things right, trying to make things fit into place the way that we think it should, but we just can't quite do it. And all the while, we're forgetting that there's someone, namely God, who's right there. And he wants us to lean on his wisdom and his understanding because we don't have the full picture. We can't see everything, and we can't get our arms around it enough to be able to move whatever it is. We need him. And when we truly know God, we trust him. So we turn to him. And the promise, or not maybe not promise, but the result is that he will make our path straight. Now, here's the thing. We don't generally see this ahead of us very easily, especially based on how we view things. It requires us to zoom out a little bit and view things on a bigger picture scale to see God working, not just in, you know, the next minute, hour, day, week, even month or year, but to see it overall. When I drive every day to the church, I turn left from 24th Avenue onto 168th Street, and it's the top of a hill. And the hill goes down into a valley, and I can see all the way where I need to go from the top of that hill. I can look out and see everything. I can see the mountains. I can see the valley that I'm going down into. I can see the hill that's coming on the other side. I can see where I'm going because I see the big picture. But if I'm just looking a few feet in front of me at the road, all I see is asphalt. I don't see what's actually in front of me. And sometimes we're too busy looking down and we have our focus is too narrow that we don't see God moving. And sometimes what we need to do is zoom out a little bit. We need to see the big picture, to see everything, that's how everything works together. And that might take taking some time and reflecting and looking back and seeing how God has been faithful in the past. And when we see God's faithfulness in the past, it gives us confidence to walk forward, trusting that he is with us and he is, in fact, ordering our path in front of us. So when we know God, we can trust in God, and when we trust in God, he orders the path in front of us, and he is with us in all that we do. And And then finally, we get a promise or a principle that tells us to turn to God. It says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. It will be healing for your flesh and refreshment to your bones. This passage tells us don't be self-centered. It's not all about you. And it tells us to trust God, but fear God. And that fear that we talked about last week isn't necessarily afraid, but it's a recognition of who God is and who we are. It's a recognition that God is 100% good, and try as we might, in our sinful nature, we are rebellious, and even though we might not be completely evil, we do things that we know are wrong, which would, another word for that would be evil. And so it's not about that we're wholly evil or wholly good, it's that our lives are tainted by sin, and we need to turn away from that and turn to God. So it's not all about me, and I need to turn to God. I need to turn from my old ways and follow God's way. And that takes humility. That takes admitting that you're wrong. That takes acknowledging that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior, that you need Jesus. Proverbs 15:33 says, the fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor. I think that's true. When we turn to God, we have to be humble because we're saying, my way is wrong. What I did was wrong. What I was doing was wrong, and I need to turn and go God's way. And this isn't just something that we do once. We will mess up again. We will do something wrong again, and we need to turn away from it and turn back to God. And the principle, when we turn away from the wrong things and turn to God, is that we will find healing and refreshment. Now, this isn't necessarily talking about having physical health all the time. You may get sick, but what it is actually saying, and the point of it is, that when you turn to God, the result is physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional well-being. It doesn't mean that you won't have struggles in your life, but what it means is you have assurance. You have assurance of what Christ has accomplished in your life. You have assurance that you are His child, that He has brought you into His family, and that He is not going to let you go. So you can go forward, trusting in that. You have His assurance that He is with you. And it comes from turning away from what we once did and turning to God. Proverbs 25:2 says, it is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings to search them out. And I've already said that the Bible tells us that God's fullness is revealed in Jesus. And sometimes we may be obscure it. Maybe today you've never heard that before. But God has revealed Himself in Jesus. And He has given us the ability to search things out in creation, in the world. But He's also given us the ability to trust in Jesus. To trust in Jesus' sacrifice. And true wisdom is found in Jesus and His sacrifice. 1 Corinthians in chapter 1 talks a lot about God using something that seems so foolish, yet it's actually so wise. God allowed Himself in the form of Jesus to become a human, to live life as a person, and then allowed himself to be arrested, falsely accused of crimes, and nailed to a cross. And through that crazy act that seems so foolish to us, the wisdom of God is revealed, because in that act, he made a way for us to know God. He made a way for us to turn to him. He made a way for us to be remembered, brought into his wisdom, his family, to embody his wisdom, to walk around everywhere as a part of his family, as a part of a new creation. And at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verses 30 and 31, it says, "And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." The wisdom of Christ is righteousness that's not our own. Proverbs teaches us to live a righteous life. But ultimately, what we find is we can't be perfect. We can't be fully righteous. We needed someone else to be fully righteous. We need righteousness that comes only from God. And we get that through Christ's death. He paid the price for my sin, for your sin, so that we could have his righteousness. And sanctification is his molding of us to be more Christ-like as he works on us, as he reveals more of his wisdom to us, as we start walking in that wisdom more and more. And redemption is that we are bought back from the penalty of death, brought into God's family, and he is keeping us there. So that we don't get to boast in all the things that we do, but we boast in what Jesus has done. True wisdom is living a righteous life, but ultimately recognizing that we cannot live a righteous life apart from Christ. So today, as we close, remember, do not cut yourself off from God's wisdom, from his word, from his community. Be a part of it. Embody God's wisdom. Walk around knowing who you are in Christ. Trust in God. Know God. Turn to God daily. And if those last two things you have not done yet, you can do it today by repenting, stop going the way you're going, and turn to God. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is what we are told to do. Repent and follow Christ. Trust in his sacrifice. Trust in what he has done. And for those of us who know God already, remember to follow his wisdom and not your own wisdom. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for your amazing love for us. We thank you that you entered into humanity as a little baby and lived a perfect, sinless life and ultimately died on a cross in an act that seems so backwards and so foolish, yet your wisdom is revealed in it, because that is the way that we are enabled to truly live a life that is honoring to you, because we receive your righteousness, not a righteousness that comes from ourselves. I pray that we would seek to always be a part of your wisdom, to learn your wisdom from your word, to be a part of your community. I pray that we would embody your wisdom and walk around with it wherever we go. I pray that we would find the reputation that comes from that. Lord God, I pray that we would know you and trust you in all that we do, that we would not seek to do things alone. And I pray that we would turn to you, whether it's the first time or the thousandth time, I pray that we would consistently turn to you and that we would find the refreshment and the strength and the healing that comes from knowing you, turning to you, and being refreshed by you. We love you so much. In your name, amen.